Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Product of Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Okay, welcome on this rainy evening and a night in Philadelphia. All right, so let's get started real quickly. So tonight's episode is about heroes. And it's also about being resilient and also being obedient. And sometimes we just don't do that. Sometimes things are forever, you know, meant to happen over and over and over again until we get them right. And some things we just don't seem to get right. And one of those things is just, you know, just living life simply. Sometimes we sit around and we just seem to want to wait. So before I get started, let me just go over some of the scriptures that we're going to go over. We're going to go over 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verses 41. And we're also going to go through Matthew, chapter 8, verses 19. And also we're going to go through Revelations 1 and chapter 8. Okay. All right, and with that being said, we're just going to go over, you know, some of the things I've seen that's been happening. And one of the things that's kind of just gets under my skin is when we seem to, you know, head into the wrong direction. And one of those things was I seen a flyer dropped in my mailbox, and it was from one of our local senators. And on the flyer it says, "Join the fight for more funding for our schools." And the incredible thing I thought about that was that, you know, we just had a surplus of money that we had from the epidemic. And we had, you know, everybody thought that, you know, everybody was going to get a stimulus. The problem I'm having with this is that we have no problem, you know, raising funds for, you know, fighting Russia over in the Ukraine. We have no problem, you know, helping out Israel and then fighting against Hamas. And we sent already billions of dollars already, you know, in the effort of helping them and their, you know, their fight for freedom or what have you. You know, the problem I'm having is that we haven't taken care of home first. We haven't taken care of what's going on here. We haven't taken care of our homeless problem. We haven't taken care of our housing problem. We haven't taken care of the job problem. We seem to be focused somewhere else. And the focus of that is that, you know, hey, we have to protect this interest or that interest, because in the end, if we don't protect this interest, we're going to be in we're going to have problems here. The problem is that we haven't taken care of here yet. You know, we still have not taken care of here. We still haven't, you know, people are still hungry. People are still homeless. We still have problems, you know, coming up with funding for our education. And, you know, it's kind of upsetting that, you know, we're putting money and resources in other regions instead of here. All right, so let me get off my little soapbox for now. Once again, welcome everybody, and thanks for joining me for tonight's episode. Okay, so now we're going to go into the topic of heroes. And the reason why I'm going into that topic is because we seem to tend to wait for this hero to emerge from somewhere. This hero, this protector, this guide to lead us, you know, somewhere. But the whole thing is that, you know, we have to understand what it is that we need to do. And what we need to do is we need to step up ourselves. Sometimes we need to not place other problems, other burdens, other things that we can work out And what we're doing is we're taking it out of our hands and we're trying to place it in somebody else's hands. Well, there's a simple solution. You know, if you feel as though the burden is too heavy, you know, call on Jesus. And I know you're saying, hey, that's a real, real simple solution. It is. And it's something that we need to, you know, look forward to, you know, as far as, you know, some of the actions, we that we need to do. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that we, when we become overwhelmed, everybody becomes overwhelmed from time to time. But we just need to make sure that we call on the right people. Okay, and, you know, as it's stated in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6, where it lets you know that Jesus is the rock. You know, he's a rock that you can stand on, that you can build on, where you can move forward, where you don't have to worry about if it starts collapsing, if things are not going right. You know, things are never going to be perfect. The ducks are not going to be lined up. And, you know, with that, you know, I just want to go ahead and play a little something. Okay, and we're going to play a song from Yolanda Adams. We don't have the rights to this song, but we're going to go ahead and play it, you know, in the name of praise and uplifting. All right, here we go.
How big is your imagination? How much do you dream? Have you ever had a vision that seems so far to reach? But I ain't trying to preach to you, but I'm really concerned about the road you choose. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you choosing? Why don't you? What you do, and I see myself as I watch you, cause I did what you're doing when I was a kid, and I made the same mistakes. I've been where you've been, but you can change your destiny if you listen to the words that I say.
You can achieve
anything.
All right. That was Yolanda Adams, anything. Okay, so now, getting back on topic. Okay, so now, I'm going to real quickly, we're going to jump into 1 Samuel, and we're going to jump into right into verse 16. Now, just to give you a quick, synopsis of what's going on. So, during times of turmoil, sometimes we turn to people. In the Old Testament, they were very lazy as far as serving God and serving, his word. So what God said is, I'm going to give you something to do, and you're going to do it to the letter. If you don't do it to the letter, I'm going to be displeased, and I'm going to punish you. It was as simple as that. There were some people that was annoying, and they were, highly blessed in the eyesight of God. And so what he did was he empowered them to be priests over people. So Saul, who was the king at the time, got instructions from Samuel. But what he did was he did what he wanted to do. And so we're just going to read on to that verse, and we're going to start at verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." So basically he had instructions, totally destroy and eradicate these people, but he didn't do it. And sometimes when we get instructions, we tend to, okay, oh, you want me to do this? Okay, I'll do it. And then we form, at some point our own opinion of what we should actually be doing. And that's just what he did. And so we have to be reminded that, sometimes we might not like, what we have to do. And we go ahead and do it, and then we do it in our own way. And sometimes when we do it in our own way, it's not good enough. Okay, so we're going to read on chapter 19. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected from being king." And so from there, he would put on notice that, like I said before, when you don't obey God, especially in the time of the Old Testament, God is going to send out punishment. He's going to vet out punishment. So what God did was he sought out a new king for Israel. And when he did that not, despite Saul. He did that because he says, when I send you to do something, I need you to be obedient. It's like like when you send your child out in the world, when you send them out to the store. Hey, I need you to get this. I need you to get this ingredient, that ingredient. I need you to come back. When a child comes back and says, hey, I got A, B, C, and we couldn't afford to get D because I got F. And you say, well, I didn't tell you to do that. And the child says, well, I wanted this, so I got it. And so you have, and from there you go out and you set forth punishment because that child did not go out into the store to get what was needed or what you wanted. The child got what he wanted. He got most of the ingredients, But he came back with what he wanted in the end. And that's not good enough, especially in the eyesight of God. And so God set forth the, you know, let Saul know that, hey, I understand what you did. You only completed part of the mission, but at the end, you know, you failed to, you know, hold up what I asked you to do. And, you know, with that, you know, Saul understood that his day as being king was going to be numbered. And it was his own undoing because he had the instructions of Samuel. And, you know, yes, you know, there are times where, you know, we fall short of the glory of God, but also same process of falling short. Yes, you know, we can correct things. We can do, you know, the right thing. And the right thing is to say, hey, listen, I made a mistake and, you know, I'm sorry. But, no, Saul didn't do that. Saul became more defiant. And so God did more, you know, did more as to finding his replacement as king of Israel. And I know, yes, you know, we don't, we're not all anointed highly as Saul was. But Saul was highly anointed in his position. And, you know, with, you know, like the saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. You know, hold up to his part of being responsible of what he was instructed to do. So we're going to go into, let's see, we're going to just move right along. And so, you know, here are just a few, you know, miracles and adventures of Jesus. And we're going to talk about the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were a set, there were six water pots of stone, according to what was stated, and containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill water in the pots, and I will fill them, and fill them up to the brim." And he said to them, "Draw some out, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water, he was made that was made into wine, and he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. He said, he had turned the water into wine, and he was not talking about a cup or a bottle full. It was somewhere around 150 gallons. There were six vessels that held 20 to 30 gallons each. And Jesus had, you know, healed Peter's mother, his mother, Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8:14-15. And so we can listen to Matthew's account of the event. "Now when Jesus had come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and he felt the fever in her. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him." Jesus always had the ability to heal the sick. So later on that evening, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He took himself and he took out our infirmities." Then he got on a boat, and his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great storm arose, so that, you know, the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came unto him and awoke him and said, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." You know, something about most of the disciples that was traveling with Jesus was that most of them were fishermen. And so they were experienced. So for them to come over some such great panic, was a surprise. You know, so, but he said to them, "Why are you fearful, or you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can be this? Who can this be, that even the winds and the waves obey? He has power over nature. He calmed a stormy sea." And that's not the only thing that Jesus calmed. Jesus calmed everyone around him. You know, he calmed the fear in the hearts of the disciples who were on the boat, were in the boat. And he has the power to calm the storms in our lives as well. When we rally on him in all situations, he will smooth out our trials and tribulations, and there will be a calming in our hearts and lives. That only can be if we trust in him. You know, just after John the Baptist was beheaded, his disciples buried his body. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by the boat privately and went into a place of where he can just mourn for a moment. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns where Jesus, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had, you know, that, you know, was pretty much going to embark on him. You know, he basically, before he left, he healed a sick. And as evening approached, you know, the disciples came to him and basically, you know, trying not to, you know, have much despair in their, you know, their voices and let them know that they were disturbed. They said, "Hey, listen, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. You know, send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them to me. Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grasses, and he took all 5 loaves and 2 fish to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men and women and children. You know, so this miracle testifies to the compassion of Jesus and calls to his church the body of Christ, and, you know, to have similar compassion for the needy. Jesus sought privately to rest and teach his disciples. You know, the crowd came seeking help, and Jesus surrendered the opportunity to meet his own need because he cared for the needy. He miraculously healed the sick and then supplied food for the hungry. Even though his disciples didn't believe he could feed so many with so little, they gave what they had, and Jesus multiplied it and fed all. You know, so we know from time to time we do have, you know, crisis where, you know, we are going to have to make choices. Can we do this with this resources? Can we do that with this resources? You know, he can take what we give also and magnify it and multiply it more than we can even imagine, no matter what it is, whether it's money, food, your talents, or maybe some little form of something you say to someone. You know, it could be the seed that grows into the mighty oak tree and bears much fruit. So one day Jesus had, you know, been teaching people who were on the shore while standing in, you know, in Simon's boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, and they will have done this. They caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, for all who are with me were abolished at the catch of fish which they have taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So that when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all that followed him. So this Simon was later became known as Peter the Apostle. The immediate result of this miracle was the astonishment of Peter, James, and John. Jesus also had the power to accomplish what these professional fishermen could not. They recognized the holy nature of Jesus, and they also recognized their own sinfulness. The ultimate result was their following Jesus. So whatever way God chose to work in our, you know, basically how he chooses to work in our lives, he wants us to recognize his holiness and become aware of our sinfulness and ultimately to follow him without any reservations. And when I say without any reservations, you know, I mean that truly. And we have to really truly understand that, you know, in order to get all of the great wonders that he wants to bestow on us, you know, we have to have no reservations at all. At all. No reservations at all. We have to be willing to set aside, you know, the sins, the past sins that we committed. And we have to understand and be committed to going forth as sinless as we possibly can. Because without that, you know, we can't move forward. You know, there's always, you know, there's something, you know, a fisherman or, you know, anybody that's familiar with a boat is an anchor. And if that anchor is rested, you know, we can't go forward. You know, there's no way that, you know, you can move that craft, that watercraft forward without lifting the anchor. So we have to make sure that we, you know, we follow in the ways that where we can, you know, help ourselves move forward. You know, without being able to move forward, you know, we're anchored into the life of sin. So we have to make sure that before we even go forward, that we make sure we don't have any anchors in place, which is going to prevent us from going forward. All right, so with that being said, real quickly, I am going to play another song, and it's Heaven by Mary Mary. And one of the things that we want to make sure that we do is that we want to make sure that we're moving forward, and the ultimate goal is to make it to heaven. So real quickly, I'll go ahead and play this song. So that was Mary Mary and the song titled Heaven. All right, so we're going to go back into our topic where we were. We're going to wrap this up real quick. Okay, so we're going to go to Luke chapter 7, verses 11 and 15. And we're going to go in and we're going to go ahead and say, you're going to start reading. So Jesus went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. He raised the dead. He who was dead sat up and started talking. There was no confession of faith or even a request for help. The young man was the widow's only son, and his death left her desolate. So Jesus was moved with compassion. His love overflowed onto the widow and her son. This miracle shows God's compassion for us and his willingness to overcome the obstacles in our lives to help us. It also shows us his power over death. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28, "For the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth." This is no limit to the power of the Father and the Son and of God. They are truly a dynamic duo. They are just a few of the miracles that show the supernatural powers of our hero. So, yes, he demonstrates that he has power over everything, even death. All right, so I didn't mention that he could walk on water also. And, you know, because the two disciples who were on the road that he appeared to in Mark chapter 16, verses 12, it says he appeared in another form. And after revealing himself to them, he vanished and reappeared somewhere else. And guess what else? You know, there is just so many miracles. So we know, you know, so we know not what hour or day that he will return, but we do know that those who are alive will look up into the skies, and it will be a plane. It will be a bird. No, it will be Jesus. You know, we are told in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus will return in the same manner that he left. The trumpets will sound, and he will make another triumphant entry. Only this time it will be to take those who have done good with him, you know, into heaven for, you know, and basically for eternity. You know, so what hero are we looking for? You know, right now the facts are presented right now, right here, that this is the hero that we've been looking for. We've just been looking in the wrong places and using the wrong resources to find that hero. You know, we all know that everybody falls short of the glory of God. Placing a man in that position is not going to help anything or even alleviate any of the effects of, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to see if I can give anybody an opportunity that wants to, you know, turn their life over to Christ. And it's called the call of salvation. And what we're going to do is we're going to offer you or anybody that has a chance of wanting to offer themselves to Christ, or even those that are already in Christ that need a rededication. The thing you want to say is, "Father God, I thank you so much for offering your son to die on the cross for my sins, to die and let me begin anew, to let me become a new creature in Christ. And I will, from this day forth, walk in the light and bask in your glory and give the testimonies of the many things that you've done to save my life, to rededicate my life, and what I've done, and show the many glories, the many triumphs that I have. And if you said that, or if you said something similar to that, or anything that your heart reveals in your own way, you know, you're saved. The only thing you have to do is tell someone. You can tell anyone. You can tell your coworker. You can tell your friend, your father, your mother, your sister, your cousin, your fourth cousin removed, you know, whoever. You just let them know that I've turned my life over to Christ and I've began anew. And once you've done that, you know, the next thing I suggest you do is find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, we're here every night. We broadcast almost every night that we're able to. And we offer you a church without walls. So welcome to the kingdom of God. And God be all the glory to you. All right. With that being said, I'm going to go into the announcements real quickly. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, whether you listen to us via phone or internet, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. All right. And when we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalk.com/Purpose Kingdom. And we do have a calling number, which is 319-527-6091. And anytime you want to talk to any one of our hosts, you just press the number one. All right. And also, we invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is at Purpose Kingdom at Facebook, where you see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And from time to time, we do make major announcements on their social media pages as well as others. We're also on Instagram and Twitter, _purpose_kingdom. Okay, please check out pkn.com, where you can hear 24 hours of music of inspiration. And also, don't forget any that we do have past shows here. Just check them out. Go back to the same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/purpose kingdom. And you just simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. All right. And also, tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour, we're going to have Still Sharpened Steel. And that's going to be hosted by Sister Mary Scott. Once again, with God's will, God's blessing, please join us at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow evening for Still Sharpened Steel. And that's going to be hosted by Sister Mary Scott. All right. And that's the end of the announcements. So we're going to resume our show. And we're going to wrap up real quickly. You know, with anything that we do, we set to try to accomplish some things. Sometimes a lot of things that we do are just so simple as just simply turning to Jesus. And also just, you know, let him know that we appreciate and we're thankful for the things he's done and what he's done in our life. And, you know, with that being said, you know, we just greatly, greatly have to understand that the move that he placed in our life and what he has done to make things as simple and not as complex as we imagine. Sometimes our imagination just runs wild from us and what we are trying to do and trying to accomplish. And sometimes the solution is easy. Prayer doesn't cost anything. Pray and let God know, you know, what you need, what kind of help you are, and what kind of situation you are. Nothing is too hard for God in this world to fix or to alleviate, to help. There is no amount of money that he can't get you. There is no amount of faith, no amount of strength that he cannot give you. You know, one thing I can say is that God can help, and he is an overcomer. You know, I did have a fear of heights at one time. And once I overcome that fear of heights, you know, I knew it had to be nothing but God. It had to be nothing but an act of God to get me over my fear of heights. There was no way that I could have accomplished, and I had the strength or the courage to travel up to heights that I thought it was impossible for me to get to. All right, so I am very appreciative of allowing you to speak to you tonight, and I'm glad, and I hope that, you know, something or some word that sparked, you know, something in you where it's been a major part of encouragement. Okay, and hey, this has always been fun, as always. So I'm going to get ready to end tonight's episode. And just remember, you know, no matter what we're doing and no matter what we, you know, what we're trying to set out to accomplish, just make sure that we seek out, you know, the right avenues. You know, there is, you know, a saying, and it says, anything man-made is made to fail. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. All right, and, hey, I will be back in another 2 weeks. God, you know, with God, God's going, God's blessing. All right, it has been it's been fun tonight. Also, yesterday, I just want to acknowledge International Women's Day. Thanks to all the women that, you know, put forth effort and, you know, give that extra effort to make sure that they are not just ordinary but extraordinary. And no matter where, that, you know, no matter what industry or where you're at and where you're working. So thank you so much, and continue on the good work. All right. As always, it's always been fun to work here tonight and, you know, get some things accomplished or get some words said. So with that being said, you know, I'm out of here. Peace. Hey, make sure you take time out to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, there's no way you can love anyone else. All right, I'm out of here. Peace. See y'all.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.